Jasper Graham is Senior Vice President of Cyber Technologies and Analytics at Darkface, and speaking recently to NextGov about the concept of a honeypot. Let's start with the definition, Jasper. What is a honeypot, and how do cyber professionals use them? Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, no problem. Sure. A honeypot is a system that has been set up for the intention of drawing attackers or adversaries to it. So sometimes it'll be set up as a very secured lockdown machine because you want to see high-end techniques. Sometimes that machine is set up not quite as secure as other machines to draw the attention of people who may be enumerating and scanning a network. And then what you do is that machine is then set up with the correct tools and techniques to record what's happening and to understand what the attacker does to gain access to that box or their attempted ways to gain access to that box. And then in some cases, it's set up so that it allows them in, and then once they're in, it understands what they do to set up their procedures for moving on and moving laterally within a network. It's a very common technique that cybersecurity analysts use around the world, and it's very effective, especially against high-end sophisticated actors.
Is there such a thing as an intentional or the opposite, an unintentional honeypot? And what I mean by that is it possible that people set them up on networks in the event that eventually they are compromised, that then when they're aware of the compromise, they can go about the business of doing, as you said, recording and understanding the intrusion and the techniques of the intruder?
Yeah, absolutely. You'll see that done with that technique where the machine is set up there and it runs on the network all the time. And usually the only people who are aware of it are IT administrators or the security professionals within that company. And it's there for exactly the reasons you just stated, so that as an adversary comes into a network and moves around, they'll usually find that that box is easy to get onto as purpose, and they'll set up shop there and do things from that box. And so you get all of this great insider knowledge as to what's happening. Additionally, what can be done is that if you're made aware of a compromise, and you realize, say, you have a desktop machine and that has become compromised, you'll see cases where the IT and security administrators will isolate that particular machine, you know, segregate it off from the network so that it cannot do harm to things around it, but that the adversary can still reach it from maybe their external IPs coming in. Then they'll monitor that box to understand what's happening. So that then they can basically, they're kind of using a legitimate machine as a honeypot, as in they're keeping it available to the adversary on purpose so that they can learn techniques that are being used. And that can then they take those techniques and they apply them to other branches and see, you know, are we seeing these techniques being used in different parts of the network or other areas at risk? And they can also pass that off to other organizations or companies.
And I probably used very unprecise, unscientific, or unprofessional terminology to describe that as an unintentional honeypot. But that's kind of where I was headed, the idea that a particular machine or location wasn't set up originally to serve that purpose, but can serve that purpose once an organization learns about an intrusion and wants to monitor it.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a common technique that's used. The important thing to do, and security professionals are very good at this, is just that isolating that machine so that it can no longer do harm to anything else around it.
And you talked about that in a recent conversation with NextGov. You stated about some of the incidents that we've seen in the federal government where there's a disparity in time between when the agency learns about it to when they either alert Congress about it or the potential victims of information compromise. You said they're by no means going to put sensitive data at risk. There's no sense in giving up the crown jewels just to run an experiment. What I take away from the sentiment there that I think you intend is these folks inside the agencies know what they're doing, and when they see these kinds of things, they are going to use them as learning opportunities. They're not just messing around. Did I get the right sentiment from your comments?
Absolutely, absolutely. These are highly trained professionals who are very good at their craft. And what they're really trying to do is they're dealing with an adversary that is also very, very good, especially in the cases that were kind of outlined in that piece. And so what they need to do is gather up as much information as possible about how the adversary got in and what they do when they're in there and what their focus of information that they're going after. So if you see them performing searches or trying to get certain types of information off the machine, that gives you a lot of understanding as to this is what this adversary is targeting. And sometimes that type of information can help lead you back down the rabbit hole, back out of it, if you will, so that you can figure out who is behind the breach, which is a really hard thing to do. So, yeah, absolutely, they use this technique, and they're very, very, very careful when they have to implement this.
Jared, Jasper Graham is Senior Vice President of Cyber Technologies and Analytics at Darkface and a 15-year veteran of the National Security Agency. Federal agencies, is it your sense that they're using honeypots to the full extent that they can, or does the idea that Congress is kind of watching over their shoulders and we'll have a lot of questions for them as of the kinds that we've seen in the last several months, is that holding them back from maybe utilizing this technique as efficiently and as effectively as they could?
I think it kind of works both ways a little bit. I believe that the agencies are using them to the best of their ability, but at the same time, if you tell someone that you're going to allow an adversary to gain a foothold in a network, even if you go through all the safeguards that you're going to put in place, it makes people a little uncomfortable. So I think there's an education piece that might need to happen so that maybe members of Congress and groups that are overseeing these agencies really understand just how much effort is putting in to secure those honeypots so that, yes, they are there, yes, the adversary will get to them. Here are the isolation techniques put in place so that they can do no more harm to the network, but then also go through all the added benefits that these agencies gain by having that in place. So I think it's a little bit of both. I think where they can utilize it, agencies are, but I also believe there is an education piece that probably still needs to be done to make people a little more comfortable with what's going on.
You kind of anticipated my next question, Jasper, but let's explore that a little bit. What does that education process comprise in your view so that it's effective, so that members of Congress can say, okay, we get the fact that you are securing the crown jewels, as you said in your quote in NextGov, and not exposing information, putting any more information than necessary at any greater risk than necessary?
I think part of that education is simply sitting down with the Congress members themselves or the IT professionals that they lean on to get a thumbs up or thumbs down, and just walking them through the process so that they really understand exactly what organizations mean when they said they set up a honeypot or they've isolated a machine, to turn it into a honeypot to learn things. And I think that can be done through documentation. I think it can be done through presentations. I think some of it is just having a good, honest conversation where they can ask all the questions that keeps them awake at night because they want to make sure that organizations are doing the right thing. And then to give those organizations the opportunity to demonstrate what they are doing and to talk about it. Maybe they can run through an example where they say, here is what we did in this scenario. Here is the valuable information that we gained. And as you can see through these diagrams and these techniques, this is how we kept that adversary completely away from the crown jewels. But at the same time, we learned all of their tricks as they were trying to go through the network.
Because my sense of the one danger of the honeypot is you've got to give them something. Otherwise, they look around and see that nothing's available and say, well, certainly this organization doesn't have nothing, so they must know we're in.
Well, luckily today we live in a world where you can stand up virtual machines at will, and it's very easy to create, if you will, a network on a box. And we see honeypots done this way, where it's not just an individual machine. You literally have a server that they will connect into, and that server is running a whole bunch of virtual machines to a huge network. So the adversary thinks they've landed on the gold mine, and they have everything. They can see all sorts of communications happening, and all the information on there is completely fictitious. You can make really non-valuable data look extremely valuable by putting the right words and techniques on there. And so just by marking documents a certain way and making them appear to contain value, and all that information could be completely bogus. Additionally, when you have that documentation on there, you can do things such as watermarking. You can put particular things into the file itself, particular words in it, and then you can look for that to pop up in other places if you allow the adversary to pull off this fake data. So you can actually track where does it show up, who's using it, where are we seeing information. There's a number of techniques that can be used. without actually having to put real valuable data at risk at all.
Jasper, as a veteran of the National Security Agency, I won't ask you to comment directly if you don't want to, but it sounds to me like that could become a very appealing and very effective cyber espionage tool.
It can be used in a wide number of ways. It can definitely be used to track people who are performing espionage techniques against an organization. Corporations do this in the public and private sector. That's kind of what they do. They will put information out themselves that is completely not legitimate at all for their particular business, and they'll put it on a honeypot in case there are things like corporate espionage taking place. So absolutely, there are techniques where that contains a tremendous amount of value.
Is there a risk that at some point in time, the technique overall, not in specific instances, but overall, will become ineffective because of the fear of the adversary that what they're engaging in is a honeypot situation? Or does the nature of the way that threat actors want to perpetrate their threats onto an organization mean because they'll be constantly trolling, the opportunity will constantly exist to catch them in one of these?
I think the opportunity is going to constantly exist for a really long time, because you as an adversary, when you're coming into a network and let's say you're gaining your access via a web server, it is going to take you a while to understand just where you are in the network itself, much less if you're on a real machine or a fake machine.